You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everybody, before we get to the episode, we just want you to know that today's episode of The Cooligans is brought to you by our friends, Heineken 00.
Correct, right? And you know, because you can't be in the stadium, you know what? There's a little bit, I don't know if you've been watching the news. But
I haven't, Christian. Why?
Look, Alexis, you can't go to live sporting events. There's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of delay. It's on pause for a second. But look, while you can't be in the stadium cheering for your team, you can win a Heineken 00 stadium in a box.
Wow, come on, a stadium in a box. So all you got to do is you got to show how you're cheering by tagging at @Heineken_US and using hashtag cheers from home and hashtag promo for a chance to win a package featuring beer gear, stadium eats, and a real actual stadium seat.
Bro, you can watch the MLS's back tournament. You can watch when soccer does return. You can watch it in the actual stadium seat, so you can feel like you're right back at your home stadium.
How amazing is that? You're sitting in a seat just like you would do if you were at the stadium. Now you got to be 21 or over.
Okay, so look, for more information, visit HeinekenCheersFromHome.com.
Heineken 00.
Now you can. Tonight on The Cooligans, we are talking about the FA Cup and Arsenal's victory against Chelsea. And we look forward to a little UEFA Champions League.
That's right. But then we talk to an absolute legend, Michelle Akers. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear this interview. It's amazing. That and more today on The Cooligans!
Hi, I'm Michelle Akers. And guess what I did today? I hung out with The Cooligans!
All right, everybody.
That's what happens when you get a legend on. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. It's more of a legendary yeah, baby, you know?
Yeah, dude, I can't come in all week, baby. I got to give you the goods. It's a national stage.
Exactly. We are absolutely thrilled about today's show because, yeah, you know why you tuned in. Michelle Akers, U.S. soccer legend, will be here talking. You know, her biopic. Okay,
you know, who's playing her in this movie? What happened? Talk to us about horses. There's a lot going on.
But again, welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are The Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen on Fubo TV.
That's right. This is the you've ever seen on any channel, bro. Because we're also the gulliest, right?
Yeah, it's the gulliest on Fubo TV, okay?
Yeah,
it's,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Us and maybe Gilbert Arenas, okay?
Yeah, he gets a little gully too, all right? But we'll share the gully, you know what I mean?
We'll pass the gully back and forth, okay? A little hot potato gully. Anyway.
A little hot gully.
You know what? We should start today real quick, at least recapping what happened in England over the weekend. Yes, Arsenal won the FA Cup against Chelsea.
You need to say, come on now. No, say it so the people in the back can hear you.
Nah, man. Nah, I don't care like that.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll say it. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you heard Christian, but Arsenal won their 14th, record-breaking 14th FA Cup against Chelsea, who beat them in 2017, okay?
That's right.
In the same competition, the same final.
Also beat them in the Europa League final as well.
All right, here we go. but nonetheless, okay, we beat Chelsea. We won the 14th FA Cup. The worst season since 1995-1996. And yet we still ended with a trophy. What's up, Tottenham?
Okay, yeah, Alexis, always reminding those spuds, as they say.
Trophy-less Mourinho.
let's talk about the game real quick because now, you know, obviously Christian Pulisic, darling of U.S. soccer at the moment.
Cut Arsenal up.
He did do that. It's easy to just say, like, you know, he is Chelsea's best player, right? I mean, that's not a crazy statement.
You can make an argument for a couple of players to be their best player, but their most dangerous attacking option has the ability to carry the team solely on their back. Yeah. That's Christian Pulisic. And that, my friends, is it American?
Very much so.
Wow.
Yeah, it is weird to say that about a Premier League player. To say that an American on a Premier League team is the best player, but unfortunately, he was injured. He pulled a hamstring. Aspilicueta also had a hamstring injury. Just like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's
the restart,
COVID, or just whatever. I don't know.
They also play a lot of games.
Does COVID attack your hamstrings? Because I'm going to say that's another symptom.
Okay. You know, you heard of COVID toe. Now we got COVID hammy.
Because, you hate to see it when it, you know, like Chelsea, I thought if Christian Pulisic and Aspilicueta are stay in this game, I think Chelsea wins this game. I don't know
okay.
about you.
Well, I mean, first of all, there's no need to even do that, okay? Because the cup is slightly broken.
No,
thank you, Aubameyang.
Aubameyang was about, he did his thing. I'm not taking anything away from it. But
He reminded me of a little bit of Ian Wright, a little bit of Thierry Henry with that goal where he just kind of scooted it back to his left foot with his weaker foot and just chipped it over the keeper. I mean, it's gorgeous. Take nothing away from Christian Pulisic. Probably the goal of the match until the Aubameyang goal. The play of the match, just absolutely incredible. And I, you know, when you watch it as an American Arsenal fan, you're like, damn, but yeah, you know, when Pulisic scores. But then even I even said this on Twitter. I'm like, all right, dude, you scored. Now let us win. You know what I mean? America looks good. Now Arsenal can look good.
Everybody,
it
was best of both worlds.
We shake hands. We're good. You guys got your goal.
Because it really did feel like if Arsenal lost this game, then, you know, Aubameyang possibly resigning with Arsenal is he put an even
probably
more
not going to happen. Also, other players. This gives us an opportunity. Now we're automatically in the group stages and in the knockout stages for Europa. And now also Tottenham has to qualify. Which is beautiful.
Well, you're in the playoff. Anyway, whatever, in the Europa
God
League
bless.
Playoff. Anyway, but I just want to give a quick shout-out. Shout-out to Fort Madison. I just got picked up this kit, which raised money for an LGBT charity. Aaron, you're wearing the Richmond Kickers.
It's the Henny Derby.
Henny Derby this
That's
weekend.
Right.
So make sure you tune in to that because it's going to be a fun game. All right, so we have Michelle Akers.
Wow.
Obviously, 99er, U.S. soccer legend, joining us next. So please come right back.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, you being Gully Squad. Thank you.
You right now, listening.
you've contributed to this marketing campaign.
That's right, thank you so much. And if you're listening and you're not in Gully Squad, I'm not going to say it's not thanks to you. I think you already know that. But you can. This can be thanks to you. All you got to do is join Gully Squad. It's mad simple. You know what I mean? Because what happens is you join Gully Squad, and guess what happens? We show up at your house. We said we don't care about the quarantine, you know what I mean? We show up at your house and we say, yo, thank you, and then that's it, we leave. It's very odd.
we break lockdown rules. That's how committed to you we are.
All right. Where you live in Europe, be there in a few hours, my guy.
Okay, yo, Boris, open up the borders.
Yo, Latvia, all right. I might have to use points, but we're gonna get there.
Okay, we're un-Brexiting right now.
We've
decided.
We're here. What's good? Is this Europe or not? Yeah.
So, yes, join Gully Squad. Obviously, there's a lot of awesome perks and privileges. Obviously, we have
the hesitation you put on perks, man. Even I was like, ooh, what do we got?
You can obviously the our Slack channel, our birthday parties, dope Zoom hangouts. It has it all. So
yeah, and pins and pop sockets and, you know, cool stuff. It's just one of those things. Like, yo, you're supporting us. It doesn't matter the level. You're gonna get some dope perks. You're gonna get a chance at exclusive content. You're gonna get a chance to hang out, chat with us. And yo, like the Slack channel, it's almost like just a big group chat. There's like people sharing food to do on the road once we get back on the road, people sharing pictures of the food they're cooking while they're on quarantine, people sharing pictures of pizza and I'm roasting it. We do other stuff than food, don't we, Christian?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, there's people sharing music that they enjoy. It's its own community of soccer fans that appreciate comedy and appreciate other things in life that they can share with each other, and it's really growing into something that's organic, that is not really about Christian and Alexis, and it's beautiful to see. So
I know it's bothering me. It should constantly be about us. But also, they get a chance to be a part of the show. When we have guests, we ask them, what questions should we ask? When we say those are Gully Squad questions, yo, those are questions directly from that Slack channel from Gully Squad. So if you're a member of the Gully Squad and you're not in the Slack channel, get on that. What are you doing? There's exactly. Not a lot of you. There's like a few of you that
there's
haven't.
There's a few. There's almost like, I think, maybe 30 or 40 people that are not in the Slack channel.
What a handful of people. Come on, get in here.
Get in there. So yeah, again, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and get on board, man, because you're missing out.
Hell yeah. Soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. All right, baby, we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC. And I mean, look, we've had some big guests on our show.
We have.
Right? But it's rare that we get an OG GOAT on our show. I mean, talk about kicking the door open for an entire segment of sports. I mean, this person, she didn't just kick the door. She scored a top-end goal, and that broke the door down. I'm as excited as I've been for a long time. Christian?
Absolutely honored. I'm excited about today's guest. Just yeah, it's rare that we get to, you know, be face to face with a legend. Let's go.
Insane. I mean, if you don't know who this person is, hit pause. Okay, Google, and then come back, because I mean, when I think of U.S. women's soccer, this name has to be first, if not at least second, that comes to mind. Because, I mean, just amazing stuff. Broke the door open. And the only reason that women's soccer is as big as it is today is because of the fact that the sport was carried on this person's back. You know her. You love her. U.S. women's national team. U.S. soccer legend. Michelle Akers, everybody.
Woo! Hi, guys.
Michelle, thanks.
I'm pumped to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is, look, I'm a little nervous, I'll be honest, because this is, you know, we've met a bunch of people in U.S. soccer. You know, we're both stand-up comedians. We've gone to, like, different events, whether it was at the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame, and you know, sometimes you get starstruck, meeting the Rapinos of the world, meeting the Kriegers of the world. But this is, when it comes to people who had a giant contribution to the sport in the United
States. Impression.
Yes, and who is also an inspiration to so many people, and so many people who play the game as well. I mean, Michelle Akers is that name. So, I mean, I guess the first question to you is first, it's not even a question, just thank you for being here, for legitimizing this programming.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. No, I'm nervous to be with you guys. Who does this? Like, what person legitimately goes on with two comedians? I don't know. Is that smart? It just seems like I'm setting myself up to just, you know, be, you know, taken out at the knees.
I think that's what coaches were saying to their defenders before playing you. To be clear, why are we doing this? Is there a reason to do this? You saw what she could do out there, right, guys? I mean, should we just go home?
But look, there's so much I want to talk about. But first, I obviously, you are one of the 99ers. That's why a lot of people, and when it comes to how the game is kind of marketed nowadays, people refer to you and that team. But I'm curious about the time before 1999. Obviously, there soccer did exist, but what did it look like for women's soccer? Because I've heard so many different stories about just how difficult it was for it to just be legitimized. So, but what was it like for you being a part? Because I know you were a part of the 85 team, right? So
I was.
What was it like back then for you?
Yeah. So it's an interesting question because to me, doing this, the first team was in 1985. The first coach was Mike Ryan. We had our first team played in Italy in this tournament. I scored the first goal. For the U.S. So it's just, I didn't even know what a national team was. And, you know, other people did. I'm just saying I didn't. So I don't know I must have been living in the basement for a long time before that or something. So when I got, I got invited to go play for the United States national team, and our camp is in New York. And then we're going to, if you make the team, you go to Italy to play. I was just like, great. And so I just thought I was, I don't know what I mean, I was just going on, and we would go to Italy. I never questioned whether I would make it or not. I had no idea. And, it wasn't like we were outfitted in red, white, and blue and the Mac Daddy sweet gear the current USA teams have. It wasn't at all like that. And we wore men's uniforms. We had to literally sew on some USA patches. Our coach, Mike Ryan, he was from Ireland, and he was so like pissed at us that we didn't get that we were playing for the USA. Yeah, and there's an immense national pride about this and seriousness about it. We were thinking we're just going to kick ass. So, but we didn't get the USA thing. So he had us stand at practice in the middle of a field and yell the national anthem. He's be proud of it, you know. And he was one of those guys when they're talking and getting all intense, there's frothing. And so we're like, just yelling as loud as we could. So that was kind of like my, oh man, this isn't just playing soccer. It's playing for the USA. And so it was like opening the door for, in many ways, not even, you know, from recognizing, oh my God, this is playing for the USA. And then after that, it was.
I think your coach is back.
I think they're singing the national anthem.
Yes. I didn't sing it good enough. I'm standing, first of all. So, ever since then, it was kind of discovering what the national team was, what it means. But then when Ants and Dorans came on board, it was, you know, creating the team we wanted, creating the USA team that we wanted to be. Number one, winning and killing every team we played and becoming best, you know, be the best in the world. The best players on the best team in the world, bar none. We wanted everyone to think what you were just saying. What in the world are we stepping out on this field for against this team? We should go home right now. So that, you know, the mentality was there. We just had to build the rest. And then that 99 World Cup was about gathering in the country and the world to show this is a legitimate sport, and corporately, nationally, athletically, sports, in all ways, we should all be on board a major accomplishment, a major event, a major sport to be a part of.
Cooligan's Living Room FC with the legend, okay? The absolute legend, Michelle Akers. We're shocked she agreed to do the show. Okay? Michelle, I
begged you. You can tell him I begged you. Come on.
I mean, weeks. when we look at where American soccer for the U.S. women's national team started, as you mentioned, you know, not sewing your own patches, not even sure what the national team even meant. When I think back to that, I wonder, as someone who played soccer and so incredibly well enough to go into the women's national team, what was your goal at that point? Like, what was the landscape of soccer for a young girl, and how different is it today? Because I'm assuming most young women that are playing soccer at a high level are looking up to the national team and saying, that's what I want. You know, we've interviewed Ashley Sanchez and Mallory Pugh, and they all said like they wanted to be on the national team. What did you want? What was your goal?
Yeah. This is how like sort of, I don't know if I'm like, you know, incredibly brilliant or deranged. So
they're usually pretty close.
I kind of am thinking it's a nice blend. I just thought this is crazy. In high school, when I was like a sophomore, I'm going to be on the best team in the world. I'm going to be the best player in the world. I'm going to play in the Olympics. I said all these, I'm going to play professionally. There was nothing. Okay. I don't know where that, but I just thought it would be there. when I was ready. So it was just like the sun will come up, that this stuff will be there when I was ready to play. So,
did you manifest an entire sport?
Just an entire league.
Right. But yes, but Anson, this is cool because Anson, he has said, you know, he was the one who envisioned the U.S. national team as being the best in the world and we can do this. And so he envisioned that without any support from U.S. soccer. So we hardly had a schedule. We had no money. There was nothing. There's no pro league, nothing there to develop players. But he had this idea. And then all these players, sort of these people scattered across the country, also had that same vision. So it was sort of in the stars, right? It's like these crazy people all got together with the same idea, same vision in mind. And then Anson just like started it. And then we just followed and kicked ass and kept getting better and better and brought more people into the fold, and it exploded. So the fact that like Pew could have that dream and just be like, yeah, that's where I'm going. I had the same feeling, just there was nothing there when I was saying that.
Yours was a bit more of a leap.
Yeah. Like my dad was like, what are you even doing, Michelle? That's not a thing. You know, you should be going to school to get a job. And I was like,
he wasn't wrong technically, right?
He was so right.
But thank you for pushing forward. I read the national team from Caitlin Murray, which talks about you a bunch. And one thing I learned about, and which is why I'm wearing this Umbro hat, is because you had signed, I believe you were the first to sign an endorsement deal with Umbro. And I don't know exactly how accurate it was as far as your preparation for like preparation financially, because I know a lot of players had to have other jobs and things like that. But it seemed like you were pretty level headed. And then as far as having this deal, what did this mean for you? And how did it make it seem much more serious that, oh, I can just play soccer and do nothing else?
Yeah. Again, I just assumed I would just be playing soccer and do nothing else. So I don't know if that's a level-headed person or what. So
you're like planning? No, I just knew. Yeah. Eventually, someone was going to give me money.
Of course, right? So we qualified for the World Cup in Haiti. There's a World Cup qualifying tournament. We won. Then. The World Cup was like 3 months later in China after. And then so right after we won that qualifying tournament, I went and spoke to I was so shy, and public speaking was like horrifying. But I was like, I have this opportunity to help my team. So I went and spoke at SICA, S-I-C-A, Soccer Industries Council of America. And U.S. soccer was there, Umbro people, all the industries in soccer were there. And I said, look, we just qualified for the World Cup. We're going to win. Please support us. We don't get paid. We have no money. People are living with their parents. You know, we don't. How will we do this if we don't get more support? Well, one of the guys in the audience was Mick Hoban, who played especially in Scotland for the Portland Timbers. And he was like, he had been head of Nike, Adidas everywhere. And now he was with Umbro. You heard me speak, and gave me his card and said, let's talk. It's going to be something in soccer. And so he set up that deal, and they flew me in and to Umbro in Greenville, South Carolina, their headquarters. And there was this big meeting, and oh my God, I was sitting there, you know, freaking out because it was going really fast. And then, Pelé goes and he's standing up there and he's like, Pelé. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Pelé. And then he said, yeah. And then there's this, you know, little girl who had a dream and now she's going to, you know, fulfill her dream. And she's with us right now, Michelle Lakers. And they were like, go up there. And I was like, no,
get Pelé off. And then I'll go up there.
Yeah. No, I wish I was like, oh my God. So he helped me, like Umbro set this platform up for me to you know, promote women's soccer worldwide. And thankfully we won the World Cup. And then, you know, I got to spend time with Pele, who has also helped me so much and, you know, really big role model and how to use the opportunity to further the sport. And so then, you know, Nike jumps in and then they just, you know, snowballed from there. So it was really amazing. And there was no one was telling me how to do it except for Mick Hoban and a couple people at Umbro. So.
It's not bad to have Pele as a mentor.
Yeah. Okay?
That's not too shabby.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Started giving us advice, it wouldn't be bad.
Oh, my God. I remember sitting next to him and he was like talking to me like this. I was looking at him and I was in my head, I'm just going, he's talking to me right now. He's talking to me right now. I had no idea what he was saying. So.
Michelle, one of the other things that I really enjoyed about Caitlin Murray's book was your nickname, because your nickname was apparently Mufasa. I did not, yeah. I was not aware of this when I was a young child. And then obviously, super cool. Obviously, your hair is iconic, right? I mean,
it's a shame you're wearing a hat, Christian, because you kind of are honoring Michelle Akers.
We've both decided
not to cut our hair during the quarantine.
I haven't either, you guys.
Christian is growing out a 1995 Michelle Akers right now, and it is glorious.
I'm getting there. But I did want to ask about this in particular, because we got a couple questions from some of our fans, the Gully Squad. Shout out to Gully Squad. That's our supporters group, right? Who had asked specifically about your hair. We got a question from Emily Gertis and Nick Sint, but the... what was it? You were a person who never put their hair up.
Everybody goes ponytail.
And a lot of people would say, like, you can't even play with your hair going in your face, whatever. You didn't care. You managed to go through it. What was that? What was a factor of that decision, or was it not ever an issue for you?
I just hate getting haircuts. Okay, that's it. I don't know.
I love your attitude. Just,
getting haircuts. Like, and oh my God.
So I'm going to do it. Do that, so I'm not going to do that. It's amazing.
Brandy Chastain was like constantly, Mufasa, just put it in a ponytail. I was like, hell no, stop touching me, get off me. Like, right? I don't know. I just didn't like that. It wasn't me. And, I do not like getting haircuts. You should see my dad. Okay, I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree on that. But yeah, the COVID thing, I haven't got a haircut. It's driving me crazy, and I'm about to I am so close to either to just buzz cutting it off.
I would actually just love to witness you getting a haircut and being like mean to the hairdresser, you know, being like frustrated, like, can you grab this up? I'm trying to go back to my horses.
Is there a way you could do this without touching me? And also, do you mind the dogs panting in the background?
That has to all be a thing.
All there. Actually, yeah. I had another question about your playing career, and this comes from Val Paschal. She wanted to know, how are you able to manage playing at such an elite level with chronic fatigue syndrome? And when did you realize you had it, which is maybe something that she experiences herself?
I realized I had, like, I realized it. I was having just crushing fatigue, like, and feeling like I had the flu. When you like, I kind of don't feel good, and then boom, the flu runs you over like a truck. Well, that's kind of what happened to me. It's, but it didn't go away. And I just was like, oh, I couldn't rise above. And so finally, after weeks and weeks, and it's getting worse, I went to the doctor, and it became a process in finding out what in the world was going on. And so one of the diagnoses was chronic fatigue syndrome. I still am not sure that was it, because I had other health issues diagnosed along the way, like a low blood pressure disorder. It's called neurally mediated hypotension, the orthostatic blood pressure thing. And I couldn't take the drugs needed for that because it was a banned substance for U.S. soccer. So I've had in my career probably I don't even know now. I had about 30 knee surgeries, I broke my face, you know, the orbit and my nose and cheekbone. It had, you know, that. So I, you know, it wasn't just the chronic fatigue or whatever it was. It was tons of injuries. And so how did I deal with that? I managed what I could, and I was so focused on, can I contribute to my team? Being so limited. And then my coach, Tony DiCicco, at the time, he and Anson for a short period, they kind of gave me the leeway to rehab the injuries and then come back, because every time I came back, I was better. And I never disappointed them. And so I had some freedom there. And then the chronic fatigue, we managed what we could. I played as long as I could and as best I could. And he team around me in that holding midi position, so I could play to my strengths and still contribute on the field. And so if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have been able to continue my career. And the support of my team was amazing. So, you know, and it just took a lot of guts. I really, really wanted to play. I loved playing. I loved being on that team. And so when you love something that much, it seems easy to set the other stuff aside and focus on that. Carries you in the direction of that, you know, the passion or the love that you have. And so that's what I did.
Was it frustrating becoming an attacking midfielder? Because as a comedian, it's hard for me to write a joke for someone else, because I'm like, that's not how I would do it. So when you pass a ball to a striker and they miss, are you like, come on? You know? Here's what I would have done.
Well, I was a midi at first, and then I was a striker, which I hated being a striker. And then I got put back into midi and then holding midi. So I knew the job, right? I knew what was supposed to, what up there. Thankfully, most times I gave someone the ball, they were badass, right? That my team, we were badass. So I did my part, and I was like, okay, you got it. And so I didn't have to really worry that they were going to shank it or do something stupid, because my God, if you give the ball to Mia Hamm or anybody like that up front, is sort of like, I might as well get out my lounge chair and just let her go and watch, right?
Just turn around. You know what's going.
Yeah. Yeah. Here you go. Goodbye.
Story, that description, just all the things that you went through, is pretty inspiring given there were so many issues behind the scenes with U.S. soccer, kind of. Whether it came to pay or scheduling or resources and things like that, is that really what was required? Like that passion for the game to kind of not necessarily look past those other things, but it really you have to like prove yourself to such a ridiculous degree so that the credibility is there when it comes to negotiating contracts and things like that.
Yeah, totally. Like right, you so. It's not like when we signed a contract to play for the U.S. national team, it's not like the NBA or NFL where we got millions of dollars just like, okay, no, oh no. So our per diem when we first got on the team was $10. We had to bring our own cleats. We wore men's uniforms. There was no such thing as women's soccer gear at the time anyway, but we stayed in horrible hotels. Okay. Just horrible. We traveled coach to China and all places around the world, smashed in together. That first World Cup, we played one game, then you'd have a day off, you'd play another game. Nowadays, they get 3 days in between. They're in cushy first class. It's, you know, in order to like do that and then fight to gain more and get more for your sport and your team, you've got to like love what you're doing and love the people you're doing it with. And so that, gosh, that's so essential. It's just true. Cause we went on strike against U.S. soccer. There was like really some big decisions to be made that could have affected our careers. And it was just really all about, you know, and that's for me, that's what I'm that way anyway. I follow that every day. And it's why I do what I do, you know, with animal rescue. And it's probably why I'm poor. So
Michelle, the news about the 99ers film from that's going on, it's going to be on Netflix.
The Girls of Summer, I believe, is the title. Yeah.
So this is super cool. Obviously, probably long overdue. You know, I think a lot of people are really expecting this. What are the details? Do you know anything about the film and its production? Do you know who is going to play Michelle Akers, possibly? Or who would you like to play Michelle Akers?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't, I don't know any details. That's like a Julie Foudy detail thing. I'm just meat and potatoes doing the stuff in the background all the time. So I don't know. We don't know a lot of details actually, because COVID sort of interrupted the process. So they said, you know, maybe we'll start doing some of the filming next spring, but obviously that we've got a lot of COVID stuff to kind of get through and see where everybody is in the world with the pandemic. I don't know who is going to play who. God help me, I don't even know. Who would you guys say?
To play you? Yeah. I mean, it has to be, big. We need big haired folks.
Yeah. Big hair.
Curly haired folks. I mean
tall,
big hair.
Hey, you need tall and big hair. I mean, maybe like limited, right? Because I don't know who's tall in Hollywood right now.
Charlize Theron, you know, Charlize she's pretty tall.
Could, yeah, she could play it.
She could.
Okay.
She could put like a wig on.
For sure. Or just go all the way and just get the hair permed up. You know what I mean?
She could.
Just Farrah Fawcett's.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
Yeah. That was the hair I wanted as a teenager when I was in high school. I was like, I wish I had that hair.
Yeah. R.I.P.
But we did mention a little bit about sort of your horse rescue. And I mean, this is common, right? Most soccer players are the greatest in the world, retire and then rescue horses in the other side of the country from where they were raised. How did that? I know you grew up being a big fan of horses, but I mean, how did you get into horse rescue?
Yeah, I know. I retired. I used to read Black Stallion books as a kid and like think, oh my gosh, I want to be that kid and have my own Black Stallion. So that was like my dream. And I also dreamed of being a Pittsburgh Steeler and being like Mean Joe Green, but that was different. Okay. So
just the tossing horse thing, the towel.
You
would
have
kid.
Made that happen. Let's stop acting like oh that. God. Wouldn't like you wouldn't have made
I idolized
that
him.
As well.
You guys are idolized. Mean Joe Green and the Steelers. I got sent to the principal's office in third grade because I was like, I'm going to play in the Steelers. And they sent me to the principal's office. So I got,
what are we, the level of like,
hold on. Was your principal an agent for a sports agent?
Cowboys.
But the level of like, I think indoctrinated like sexism that a girl can't even want to be like Mean Joe Green and you get punished for it. That's just absurd.
It's so wrong. Yeah. My mom came in and was like, I thought I was in so much trouble, you guys. I never went to the principal's office. Then my mom came in and I saw her face. Oh my gosh. So I was probably crying. And she's like, how dare you tell my daughter what she can do and what she can't.
Oh, that's
be ashamed. And she just ripped them. And I was like, yes. So
props to mom. Vindicated. Yeah, that's amazing. Yes. Yeah.
And then so my second dream, I did not become a Pittsburgh Steeler. I did kick some field goals, though. I almost played for the Cowboys. Was it after I retired? No, it was right when I graduated from college. This guy came and asked me to kick field goals. That's another story. So I said I wanted to play soccer. So the horses, I retired from soccer. I had a horse. I got a couple horses and I was just going to be a cowgirl and do my Black Stallion thing. And there was this horse in our neighborhood down those dirt road. And it was abandoned and incredibly neglected. And
I'm sorry,
and
where did you grow up that there was a horse in your neighborhood?
I grew up in the hood.
The only horse I saw until 20-something had a cop on it. I have never, I had a, like, dogs. There's a dog on that street, but I never had a horse in my neighborhood.
This was after I retired from soccer. So I was in, and it was near Orlando and a little bit ruralness. And there was a dirt, there was like our neighbor, they had like 5 acres, 20 acre little, like, you know, properties. And I had a couple horses. And then I would take my son, who was a baby, on a bike ride down this dirt road. And there was this horse in this kind of abandoned property. So that's okay. So then for like a year, people are calling animal control, nothing. And so finally, animal control came with the cops and got this horse, and somebody took it in. And I wanted to see that horse and be like, you're okay, you're good, you're in a good home, you know, like close the chapter on that. And so I went there, they asked, they said, would you volunteer to transport other horses taken in by animal control? So I was like, oh, sure, sign my name. Next morning, they called me.
We got 12 horses.
Yeah.
Right? And they next morning, there was a criminal case, they brought in a horse, it's needing transport. Can you foster
it? The horse was a criminal?
No. You guys are from New York, New Jersey.
The horse is wearing one of those old-timey burglar masks and the striped shirt.
Yeah, oh, my God.
This horse robbed the bank. How?
You rescue and rehabilitate horses, which is great.
Well, criminal find out horses. Who duct taped the knife to the horse's leg. Can we find that out before we ride patrol?
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, okay. But yes, this is very much a legitimate animal rescue. Yeah. And this is amazing work.
Okay. Yes. The animals are not criminals, by the way. Okay. So I picked up this horse. She was, I was actually scared to get this horse because she was so bad, just near death. So I finally was like agonizing. I'll do it. I'll try. So I brought her to my house and my barn and walked her in it, and she like went like this. Now my vet said she's gonna die, she's not gonna make it, but I don't know. So I just, you know, tried. I brought her back, a lot of help from other people, but then I said, you know what, if I could save one horse, other people can save a horse. So that was kind of how I started it all, like, you know, let's just do this kind of one horse at a time and give what you can, and we'll make, you know, we can make a difference. So then it just became more and
incredible.
I'm really interested from your perspective, coming from where you started to what's happening now, seeing the women still fighting for their equal pay, but also just the world of women's soccer, and that it seems to have not just turned a corner, but taken a leap from this past World Cup. The NWSL seems to be stronger and bigger than ever with incredible ratings. They did an incredible job with the bubble in Utah. And sort of, it seems like we're now at a point where momentum is continuing to build in women's soccer to the point where it's not an adjacent sport to soccer. It is soccer. What are your thoughts on that? And coming from where you come from, this insane fandom, what is your perspective on all of this?
Yeah, well, I mean... over the moon. It blows me away, and yet it's still not happening fast enough. So I'm just really proud of like all these players and people who continue to grow the game, because after the 99 World Cup, there was a kind of some rebuilding for the US side. And what I was so excited about was these players that were playing for the US were like maintaining that incredible standard that the U.S. has always had, and at the same time kind of building their own team, their own legacy, which to me was incredibly exciting and so much needed, you know, because the new players that have come, who are now the studs of our current game, are pushing everything forward and growing the game and taking it where it needs to go to be successful and continue to be successful. So and the COVID thing for the NWSL, they were the only sport playing. I mean, my God, that's huge. And so that was brave and courageous, yet they did it incredibly smart, you know? So I am, you know, in awe of them and super proud of them. And at the same time, you know, we have these statements from U.S. Soccer, you know, last year saying that, you know, the women's players don't have enough to offer. They don't have the same to offer as the men. So, you know, you hear these things still are out there. So we have so far to go still, but the incredible strides that we've taken, the game has taken because of these new players, Pino, I mean, smashing down the doors. So I love seeing it. Really excited.
Yeah. You had mentioned also briefly before about kicking for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm curious because Carly Lloyd was also in the news because she was I don't think they ever said a specific team.
I think it was the Eagles.
Okay. So yeah, she is an Eagles fan, right? There was a lot of, obviously Twitter didn't exist when you were, training with the Cowboys, right? But there was a lot of like negativity, obviously directed at her. Was there, what was the feeling like when you were just out there, you know, training or practicing for this?
Yeah. So my story was this agent, a random agent contacted me and was like, "Hey, I think a girl could kick for the NFL. I was like, "Well, of course they could." Okay. So he's like, "Come out to Texas and let's see if you can kick some field goals." So I was like, "All right." So I just graduated from college. I was planning on going overseas to play professionally to, you know, better my soccer career. And so this was like 89, 90. So I went out to Texas and was kicking field goals. It was so easy. So I was off the ground. I couldn't kick off a tee well. I could have learned, but it was off the ground. So I didn't miss. I just didn't miss. Amazing. And so I went out to 52 yards. And then, you know, I was like, okay, then that's good. So then he had me go out to L.A. to kick with this kicking coach. His name is Ben Agajanian, who was a kicking coach for the Cowboys. And he had these little camps. And so I went out. And I kicked with him with these other guys who wanted to be in the NFL kicking and stuff. And so he told me, "Look, I can get you into the Cowboys training camp. Do you want to go?" And I said, "No, because I want to be a soccer player." So I went home.
Okay.
So that's how it was. So I never got to get on the field in pads or anything like that. And to be honest, you know, those guys are massive. One, you know, they could just be like, ping, and I would have flown, into the crowd and be, you know, broken into a million pieces. So there would have been, I don't know, a long discussion about how that was going to happen, et cetera. But I definitely think a female can do it. It's just the side part about what if she takes a hit, she's going to be a goner.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. The side part being the inherent violence of the game.
Yeah. Being crushed by basically a Mack truck in a human form. But I do love that I think the moral of the story is you almost became Mean Joe Green, Michelle.
I almost did it.
What else do you dream of? Dream of $1 billion, Michelle.
I know, right? Acres, get it through your head. Why didn't I just go there for a couple months? Acres.
And your name is Acres, and now you live on Acres. I'm telling you, your whole life.
Yeah. I know. So it's crazy. So when I saw Carly doing that, I was like, "Oh, this is amazing. It's a no-brainer. You'll be awesome."
Thank you so much to Michelle Acres for joining us on the show. I don't know how often you do comedy shows, but you absolutely crushed it today.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
You're a legend in this too? It's enough.
So thank you.
Because of you guys.
Michelle, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Yeah. Michelle Acres Horse Rescue. I talked about my horses, my animals I love to save. You can donate. We like donations. MichelleAcres.org. MichelleAcres.org.
Okay.
So thanks.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. Make sure you support. Maybe one day we will get to be at this rescue.
I'm a pet a damn horse. I want to touch that hair. You know what I
mean? Yeah. And it'll be like, Michelle will be like, no, I'm not the horse.
I got that light, long, straight, gorgeous horse hair as well.
No.
Share it together.
It's like, yeah. Yeah, if you want to pet a goat, you pet Michelle Akers. Yeah. If that works.
You know what? I want the horse to pet me back. Do that, Michelle.
Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you follow Michelle on Twitter, on Instagram, all social media, wherever she is. Follow at Soccer Cooligans. Follow at Fubo Sports. And subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel if you'd like to see full episodes of the program. So let us end the show the way we normally do. Again, thank you so much, Michelle Akers, for joining us. For Michelle Akers, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
The Cooligans!